Everybody, it me. This is my second video in my gender queer exploration series, and for this video I'm going to be talking specifically about what the process was like in getting gender affirming care. So after I had my like self-discovery shroomy moment, I talked with my therapist about it. I've been seeing my therapist for like a couple of years now, and she's been really supportive. And then I called my OB-GYN and I told them, I was just like, hey, like, I've been exploring my gender identity for about like 10 years now, and I've been talking with my therapist, and I would like to pursue going on HRT, like microdosing testosterone, and getting top surgery. And he was just like, yeah, sounds like things have been really like thought out and you've had outside, you know, help and support, and so we'll get you all set up. And so for me personally, like for my identity, I really feel like mostly like androgynous. Like at my baseline, I feel really androgynous. I don't feel like I'm a man or a woman. I kind of feel like both and neither and something completely different and obscure at the same time. Like it's kind of like fluid. There'll be some days in the month where I feel way more masculine. There'll be some days in the month where I feel more feminine. But what I do know is that because I personally grew up really having it drilled into me that I'm a pretty girl and I need to behave as such at all times, as I was exploring my gender identity, I realized that I had completely been repressing my masculinity. And so I feel like to people who just kind of like see me going through this and like based on like the questions that they ask, like a lot of people think that like, oh, you're like wanting to turn into a man. But for me, it's more like I'm a Libra rising, okay? I feel like my gender identity has like scales, and it's like the feminine side has been like weighing me down. It's been like too heavy, like trying to be feminine all the time, being feminine as a performance, feeling it like compulsively, like ingrained to me from such a young age, like it's out of balance. And so it's like I'm like spending some time nurturing and like nourishing my masculinity so that I can be like the balanced person that like I just see myself as. I don't expect that to make sense to anybody, but that's just how it is for me. And then I also want top surgery, which I'm getting later this year. And I recently had a hysterectomy. I'm going to talk about that in a different video though. So I think I got to say, like, there are a lot of obstacles for getting gender affirming care. One of them is fat phobia. It's bullshit. It's bullshit. Like so many of my queer fat friends, they're not able to get like the healthcare that they need because doctors like assume that they're unhealthy because of their weight. And it's just bullshit. Like when I worked at like a dance fitness studio, there were pole dancers who were so much bigger than me, who were so much more flexible than me, who were so much stronger than me, who could do like better tricks than me. They were faster than me. So that's one obstacle that a lot of people have for getting gender-affirming care. And then the other part is just like systemic racism and stereotyping and like white doctors, like making things more difficult for clients of color. There's a lot of bullshit at play there. And then also, you know, depending on the area that you live, you might have more access than others to certain care. And so I do acknowledge that, like, honestly, for me, this procedure, like this process has been really easy. Like it's gone the way that it should. Like this is how it should go for everybody. Like it should be this easy to get care, but unfortunately it's not. And so while my story is kind of like an ideal case, like people need to be aware that like, this is why we need to talk about queer issues, why we need to talk about trans issues, why we need to talk about systemic racism and fat phobia in our health community, so that everybody can get the access to the care and treatment that they need. Yeah, so like the whole time I was just kind of like dumbfounded by how easy this was. So they set up just like a shit ton of phone calls. Really, that's what it was. It was just a shit ton of phone calls. Since we're still in the middle of the panini, I didn't have to go to really like that many or any like in-person appointments. So that was really nice. The first thing that they did was they had someone call me and just like go through like the 10 question checklist of like mental health / substance abuse questions. They want to know like, are you using any substances? Do you hear or see things that aren't there? Questions like that. Then I had like an hour and a half consultation with a social worker, and I was kind of nervous about it. I was nervous that I was going to have to like prove my queerness to them, because I've heard about that. I've heard about people having obstacles to getting this care, and so I went into it almost feeling like defensive or being afraid that I was going to get like trick questions. I don't know. But really, they were just asking me about like my identity and just kind of like, you know, how, I don't even know how to explain it. It was just like, they just want to get to know you. And then, yeah, again, they ask if you use any substances. They ask about your like mental health history, family health history. Like any like trauma, things like that. And then they want to make sure that you're like mentally prepared for like changes. So it's like, you know, are you mentally prepared to go through like surgery and to take the time that it needs to recover from surgery? Have you done research on like hormone replacement therapy? And like, are you aware of some of the more lesser desired or unpleasant side effects that can come with them? Like, do you have questions about it? Or are you like okay with going through these changes? Like for testosterone, like the big thing is that like if you like any body hair changes that you have, any voice changes that you have, any like bottom growth changes that you have are permanent. But then things like fat distribution and what else? I forget what else. I can't think of them off the top of my head. But some of the other changes like do kind of go back to normal. Or if you're somebody who menstruates, your period will come back after you stop testosterone. So yeah, they really just want to make sure that you're like mentally prepared for all of that stuff. And they want to know that you have like a support system, whether that be friends or family or therapy. And so I think that was kind of like, not everybody's journey is so different, but honestly, like I do think that one of the reasons why it was easy for me was because like I've been exploring this shit and learning about this shit for like over 10 years. Like as soon as I like graduated high school, I went to college and I started doing like drag shows and like getting involved with like the Rainbow Alliance at my school. And like, not all people who do drag are like queer or trans. There are like cis and straight drag queens and kings and queens out there. But for me personally, like because my upbringing was so strict and so gendered, like doing drag and doing burlesque like gave me a way to like play with and explore like gender fluidity and all of that. And for me, it really awakened a lot of like strong feelings about my identity. And on top of that, like I'd been kind of like exploring, like living with that fluidity during those 10 years too. Like I started taking baby steps. Like I remember the first time I went to Forever 21 and I like shopped in the men's section for like a men's pair of slacks and like a matching button up to go with it. So good. Or like the first time I went to like Target and I bought like boxer briefs. I was really afraid that time, so I bought like fun ones that had like SpongeBob and like the aliens from Toy Story on them. but now I buy like the grown-up ones too. But yeah, little things like that. And I think like because I'd already been like doing a lot of that work, it just made things a lot easier for me to, I hate to say like make a case for myself, but it was just like, I've already done so many of these things. And that's kind of a shitty thing because it's like queer people shouldn't have to do that. Like no one should have to like prove, like there's no this enough or that enough to it. But unfortunately, like as of right now, there tends to be a lot of obstacles towards getting this care. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know, it seems to be changing a little bit, but not totally sure. But yeah, so basically it's all been just like a bunch of intake calls. And then something really cool that happened was like when I told my doctor that I wanted to have top surgery, he said, we do bottom surgery too. And I was thinking like, I don't want bottom surgery. Like I don't want a phalloplasty. And then when I talked to my hormone doctor, she also mentioned bottom surgery and I was like, I don't want a phalloplasty. And she was like, oh no, you can get a hysterectomy. And I was like, what? And she was like, yeah, like if you get a hysterectomy, like, or like we refer to hysterectomies as bottom surgery for non-binary AFAB patients. And I was like, hot dog, sign me up. The coolest part about that, again, like it just felt like it was so easy. When the surgery consult called me, she was like, okay, so we're going to be talking about top surgery today, right? And I said, oh, actually, like I wanted a hysterectomy too. And she said, okay, well, we can add that to the end of this call. We'll save that for the last 15 minutes. And I'm like, I feel like I just ordered a side of fries. Like that's how easy it was. And so, yeah, so that was my personal experience in navigating gender-affirming care. I also will say, shit's fucking expensive. That's another big obstacle to this. And I feel really lucky with how it turned out because at first I was paying out of pocket for all of these consultations. And let me tell you, they're fucking expensive. But then, because of the Panini, there was like some sort of like tax rescue, American rescue plan or something like that, where you get like a tax credit and it pays for your insurance or like it discounts your insurance for you. And so like, because I was like so broke the other year, like I was able to qualify for that. So I was able to get like the super fancy insurance for like hella discounted. And if you're watching this in the beginning of 2022, that benefit goes until the end of 2022. So I recommend looking into it, okay? Like look into this, because if you can get it, fucking go for it. But that was also another reason why things went this way for me. So yeah, that's just a little bit of insight into what like the intake and like onboarding for gender affirming care was like for me. I also want to mention that like I live on a coastal state, west coast state, near a big city too. And so fortunately, like the care here is pretty open-minded. The doctors are open-minded. If I was living in my hometown, it would be a very different story. And so I just want to keep all of that in mind. But anyway, that's what it was like. That was my journey so far. Thanks for listening.